Well, I'm here to talk to you today about the breakthrough power of praise. And that really kind of, you know, falls, well, let's see where it is. Worship right here, right? We'll break through in our worship in our, you know, 12 stones of the NAS. But it also, you know, comes here under prayer, right? Part of our corporate praise and worship is our prayer life. And you know what? I think it's even down here on the bottom when we talk about compassion. I think compassion fits in there and breakthrough, certainly, right? Vision, right? Vision is part of that, isn't it? And look at this top one. I know you can't see it from here, so I'll read it for you. A hope. And so when we begin to talk about all these things here that I've mentioned already, we have the hope, right? The hope that God is going to do something in us and through us in the coming days. So today I want to talk about the breakthrough power of praise. And here I'm going to start like this. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And so to begin this morning, I want to invite Paul Holt up. And I want you to just, as he comes, he's going to read Psalm 150 for us today, right? And, you know, think about maybe what God is, why he comes and as he reads and as he goes and sits down about what is God saying you need a breakthrough about?
Sure. Reading from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the harp. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Paul, for that. Let everything that has breath praise him. That means you, little one, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to paraphrase just a little bit about what Paul read to us. So let's just look at verse 1 for a moment. You know, if we paraphrase this, it kind of like is like this. Praise him if you're here, right? So are you here today? Praise him, right? Now, but he also says this, praise him if, well, you're over there. So maybe we get you out in time and you beat the Baptist to the buffet, right? Praise him when you get over there, okay? Do that. Verse 2 says, well, praise him if he's done this for you, you know, whatever that this is. But also praise him if he's done that for you and whatever the that is. Now I want to look at verses 3, 4, and 5 quickly. It says, praise him if you could play any kind of instrument. I mean, praise him, you know, that if you can beat on a cymbal. Hey, Will did pretty good beating on the cymbals today, right? Praise him. Look at how Lori played the piano. Hannah's beautiful voice, right? Your guitar, you know. Praise him. You know what? I have trouble with that because I can't do any of those things. You know, so I guess I'm jealous. But anyway, but praise him if you can even just beat on a cymbal. And then finally over there in verse 6, if you don't fall any of these categories, which is this is where I fall into, is if you're breathing, praise him anyway. Praise him anyway. Why? Well, because God is worthy of your praise. I think that's biblical. God is worthy of your praise. You see, as I think about all these things today about having this breakout, the Bible tells us, the Bible encourages us, and the Bible even commands us to praise the Lord. So I guess we always ask a question of that, right? If the Bible is telling us, commanding us all these things, then we really gotta understand what praise is. So there's the question this morning. What is praise? And I know you're thinking right off the bat, that's real easy because we just went through it. Praise is our opening worship song, or praise is the chorus we sing, you know, right there at the beginning. And worship is that calmer song that we sang right before I went into prayer. Is that right? Is that what praise is? Is that what it is? Well, maybe partly, but certainly not completely. Did you know that in the New Testament, the words, you know, praise, worship, glory, and honor are all translated out of the same Greek word? And it's doxa. And you know, we sing the doxology. You know, at the end, you know, praising God, glorifying God, praise God through whom all blessings flow. So it's the doxology, all those words, and it really means glory. And how it is translated, I mean, really depends a lot upon the context. Maybe I should say just depends solely on the context. So, if there is any difference, I guess, between worship and praise, it is simply that worship, now here it is, maybe you want to write this down, is that worship is how we respect God. You know, worship is like this attitude and law of love and adoration that we have for God that comes straight out of our heart. You see, here's the thing, is you can worship God without a sound. So you can just kind of worship God, right, and just stand, you know, wherever you're at in your prayer closet, or stand right here, and you can just close your eyes, and you can, you know, just even stand there or lift up your eyes, but you don't have to utter a sound to worship God. You just be thinking about God or whatever. You can do that, see? But praise, here's the difference. Praise, however, is an expression, or it is an articulation of the adoration that we have for God in deep within our hearts. You see, when we praise God, what we do is we give voice to how we're feeling. See, when we praise God, we give voice to our heart of worship. So worship, right, has to do with estimation. And praise has to do with expression. But both mean to give God all of the respect that he deserves. So that's really why we do praise and worship, because it encompasses all the respect that God deserves for us. So when the Bible tells us to praise the Lord, it's calling us to show our adoration to him that's deep within our hearts. Worship can be silent, but never can praise be silent, right? Whether it is a slow song or a fast song, or even if it's not a song at all. And you know what? Maybe praise is a shout, you know, like, woohoo! Can anybody do a woohoo this morning besides me? Woo-hoo! Praise God. Or it is an applause. Who knows how to applause? Who knows how to clap a little bit? But you know what we're doing there? We're answering the call to articulate what we're feeling today in our hearts. That's what we're doing when we praise God. So this morning, man, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Don't fall into the trap at prayer meeting or in worship or even at your home that says, well, I'm just praying silently. You know, I really believe that in many ways you can. But when you're gathered in a group, man, I don't know if we can just praise and pray silently. We can't pray silently, you know, really. We have to say something. We can be worshipful. And we may be adoring. But praise demands action. Praise demands you lift up your voice. I want to tell you this morning that there is power in praise. There's breakout power in praise. That's what I'm trying to get. I don't care what you're going through today. But no matter how down you might be or how up you might be, God can change your situation simply through the breakout power of praise. You know, a couple of weeks ago, or about been a little bit longer now, I was with the Horoxes and my wife, Cindy. We were somewhere in the Adirondacks. I don't know. I thought we were in the mountains, but we were really only about 150 feet above sea level. But we were at this thing called Praise in the Adirondacks. You guys remember that? You guys remember us being there? And I want to tell you something. There was, I don't know, 13 or 14 musicians, bands there. And there was, I don't know, 10,000 people. Is that a good estimation? But man, when people were there, you know what? They were worshiping the Lord, but they were praising the Lord. And you should see, man, what it was like with 10,000 people in a grass field going crazy, worshiping the Lord. And it's a good crazy, I want to tell you. There were some good bands there, and there were some even better testimonies. And lives were changed at that worship in the Adirondacks, I'm telling you. I would have loved to have left, right, and went up into the far end of the parking lot and just listened, not to the music that the bands were playing, but the voices of the people who were praising. Man, I wish I would have done that, because my sermon would be better today. If I would have done that, if I would have listened to that and tried to explain that to you today, what I was hearing. But there was a guy at the end, and his name is Jeremy Camp. And Jeremy Camp has a story that's kind of tough. See, he was a young man. He was a young worship leader in his church, and he met the woman of his dreams. You know, they were in their early 20s. And while they were engaged to be married, she was diagnosed with cancer. But the prognosis, I guess, was good, and they went on with the wedding. They got married, and not too long after they were married, she passed away. And he said, you know, that was a devastating time in his life. But you began to get the idea that he continued to praise the Lord. You know, his music began to develop farther, and God was blessing that. And he not only led worship in his church, but he began to make records, and he began to go on tour. And everywhere he went, he would sing these worship songs, and he would tell the story of his wife that passed away. But he praised God through it all. And here he is now, I don't know how many years later, but he's got a new wife. And I think that he said they had 3 children. And through that tough time in his life, through the breakout power of praise, God led him through that. And not to necessarily a better place, but a new place. So there's breakout power in praise. And you know, I know you, if you want to know more about Jeremy's story, Jeremy Camp, just go online. You'll be able to read his story. I know that you will. And I was thinking about it this week, is that there's power in lifting your voice in a song, or lifting your voice in a shout, or in a prayer of praise. You know, something happens when we applaud to magnify the glory of God. Now, over the next few moments, I'm going to jump around the Bible a little bit today, talking to you about this thing about breakout praise, breakthrough praise. So there are 3 things that I think will happen when we begin to praise the Lord. And Dave, put that first slide up, please. It is, praise secures God's presence with us. I want us to get that. Praise secures God's presence with us. When Solomon dedicated the temple of the Lord back there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, listen to what, and you can read it up there, what we find. Trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and to give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voice in praise to the Lord, and they sang, "He is good, and his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their services for the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. Praise secures God's presence with us. When was the last time? Listen, when was the last time you saw the glory of God in such an awesome and incredible way that the people were simply unable to continue the business of doing church stuff? When did we allow God to just break into our service so much that, you know what, the sermon was stopped and the order of service was thrown out the window and the songs were changed and people from the seats were shouting out testimonies? When was the last time that the glory of the Lord filled this place so much that we just threw all that stuff out the window? Hey man, I've been in those meetings before, and And I'm longing to be in those meetings again. You know, when all sense of time is gone and God takes over the meeting, and through our adoration, we give Sunday back to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the preaching, right? Because I'll tell you this, we'll never fail here in the Church of the Nazarene, no matter who the pastor is. We'll never fail to preach the Word of God. It's always going to be a staple. So that's why this is in the center. See, in the Church of the Nazarene, the Word is center to everything that we do, see? So I want to guarantee you that we'll never, ever fail to preach the Word of God. But I'm praying for and expecting the glory of God to come down in such a way that our preferred song list is just thrown out the window, right? Maybe the two choruses and the three hymns and the place where we open the altars is all mixed up. Announcements, listen to this, are totally left out. Can you believe it? What will we do without the announcements? Or how about this? You guys stop asking me if I was a quarterback. You know, that I always go long. How about that? And through all of those things, nobody cares. But they're just in the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day, glorious day that'll be. And nobody cares because the praise is electric and the preaching is anointing and the gifts of the Spirit are flowing and no one knows what in the world that God is going to do next. The expectation of something glorious, something supernatural just overwhelms this place. The glory of God in His house. Now listen, man, I can preach for that and I can pray for that, but there comes a time when we just got to have a breakthrough. And in this passage, we read today that the coming of the Shekinah glory, God's presence with us, is connected deeply. You can't disconnect it from the people of God praising Him. Psalm 22:3 reminds us that God lives in the praises of His people. Psalm 22:3, God lives in the praises of His people. So, praise secures God's presence with us. The next thing is, praise releases the burdens that crush us. Go ahead, Dave, if you could, you got it up. Boy, he's good, isn't he? He's good. Isaiah 61:3 says, provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of, now listen, a garment of praise, listen to this, instead of a spirit of despair. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Now I'm going to go out a limb here, and I know, I can almost guarantee that there's more than one person here today that's carrying a burden. There might be more than one of us who are just kind of bowed low by a heavy load, maybe a crushing load. I can guarantee that there's somebody here today who is living with a spirit of heaviness. Now, I'm not talking about, I just want to clarify this. I'm not talking about some demonic spirit right now, because that's not what this verse means. So just kind of get that out of your way of satanic, you know, attacks. It doesn't mean that. Because it's your spirit that's heavy, not some spirit that's inhabiting you. It's your spirit that is heavy this morning. Like your countenance is heavy, you know, like your brow is furrowed. Maybe I can explain it like this. Who knows who Eeyore is? Amen. If you know who Eeyore is, just, you know, go like this. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, right? Everywhere Eeyore went, right? This is what he said. Oh, woe is me, right? Wasn't that his big thing? You know, I've had an Eeyore complex from time to time in my life. I gotta admit it to you. And you know, we can get into this defeated attitude that we feel like that we feel like him. But the Bible tells us this morning to put on a garment of praise for this spirit of heaviness today. Or in other words, exchange that spirit of heaviness for a spirit of praises. Trade in that heavy spirit, right, for a light one of praise. And man, I've had times where I felt like this. You know, I felt heavy, and I'm not talking about, you know, this pudgy little belly. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about when I felt depressed. I'm talking about the times that I've had this gnawing in the pit of my stomach because I was scared about something, or I was worried about something, or I was stressed out about something, or I was filled with anxiety about something. I've been there, done it. But over the years, I've learned to turn my frown upside down simply because I've praised God for who he is, and he is good. Amen? Can I get an amen on the goodness of God today? Right on, brother. That's my pal, Aiden. Amen. And Jalen. Too, honey. Sometimes in those difficult times of overwhelming burden, praise feel like it's just an act of sheer determination. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, King David knew that. He knew all about that. He had to pull himself up by his sandal straps, and he had to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And he finished it up by saying, "Bless his holy name." But I want to guarantee you something today. Once you start to do it, praise releases the burdens that crush us. You trade in that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. And last then, but certainly not least, is that praise opens the door to our prison. Go ahead, Dave. I really want you to get that. Praise opens the door to our prison. So for this last little bit here, I just encourage you to kind of like thinking about, okay, what does he mean? What is my prison? I think before we can really begin to understand that, we have to ask ourselves of that question, you know. Praise opens the door to my prison. Well, what is my prison? Maybe some help can be taken with that, you know, can help us with that as we read Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. This pericope here, this little text comes right in the middle of one of the most powerful, powerful texts in all of the New Testament. And we find this about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now listen, the other prisoners were listening to them. Don't think for once that your testimony about the God of the universe doesn't make a difference in somebody else's life. Don't think that you don't have a testimony that God can't use. Because God wants to use your testimony, and you have that testimony. I want to tell you that today. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, all the doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Man, praise opens the door to our prison. And you know, at the end of that text there, we find that the jailer and his whole household got saved. A couple of men chained to the floor, beaten to a pulp, praising God. The guy locking them up gets saved. There's nothing, maybe I should ask the question, is there nothing that our God can't do? Or is there anything that our God cannot do? So the number one lesson from this story, and what I want us to get this morning, is that the circumstances of our lives, no matter how difficult they are, must not matter in our determination to praise the God of the universe. Whatever your prison is this morning, you know, I don't know, I'm just going to name something. A business venture, maybe, that you never should have gotten involved with. A relationship that you never should have started. Some habit or addiction that, man, you're trapped in and you just can't seem to shake it. And you know, you've given your life over to Christ, but that thing, you know, that we're talking about is like a monkey on your back, and the claws or the grip is just dug right in. But man, whatever it is, start praising the Lord this morning. Get your eyes off the bars that trap you and on to Jesus. Praise Him and exalt Him and glorify Him and give testimony to His goodness and to His power, because loved ones, praise opens the door to our prisons. Amen? 1 Peter 2:10 tells us the reason for the birth of the church. And it says this: once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can I have the praise team come up this morning? We're going to sing a song. And I'm realizing something, you know, that as they come, that if we don't praise Him, you know, the very stones will cry out. Amen. And you know, that first church I was talking about, they used to say that a lot. They used to say this: man, we got to praise God because, you know, the rocks will cry out. And then there was this little lady named Evelyn Weiss would say, "Reverend, we don't want that to happen. We don't want the rocks to cry out." So if we don't praise Him, we'll never know the tremendous power of breakout that praise brings. Amen? Thank you.